2 Kings, the 4th chapter, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen or to be slaves. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me. What do you have in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, just a pot of oil. Nothing of value, just a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when you come in, shut the door upon you, upon your sons, and pour out. Shut the door upon thy sons and pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Now that would have been the last we would have heard of it if that had been the average person listening to what a preacher, a prophet, a teacher, some man of God said. They would have said, yeah, right. But notice verse 5. This is the kind of folks that get miracles. Notice verse 5. This is the group of people that receives extraordinary things from God. So she went from him, shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full. What do you know about that? The word works. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There's not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. And in those 7 verses is more truth than I would have, but I'll try to get the truth out that God would have us to share today. The answer to your need is in your house. Really, I should say it like this. The answer to your need is in your heart and in your house. Now, we're plagued with these questions. Why do bad things happen to good people? Heartbreaking true life story. Man of God passes away very early in life, and it's not a pretty picture. I'm going to take a little time just building some truths here together. I want us to take a look at who this man was. First of all, he was a man of God. That's an important statement. He knew God. He knew God for himself. He was a minister, one of the sons of the prophets. In fact, there was a prophetic anointing upon him. He was in training. He was a servant. He had a servant's heart. And from all we know, he served and served faithfully. A servant with a servant's heart. There's something else very interesting here. He feared God. We need more of that today. He was a God-fearing man. His life was in divine order. He was a husband, and he was also a father of 2 boys, but he died. Isn't that interesting? We don't know how, we don't know why, but he did. He died. In spite of everything, he passed away. And for some reason, he did not provide financially for his family, his wife, and 2 sons. Either he believed or never even had a clue that life could be taken away prematurely. Or maybe he loved God with all of his heart, but he was just a poor money manager. I don't know. I meet a lot of people that love God with all their heart. They just don't seem to know how to handle their money correctly. It's not how much you make. It's how you handle what you make. And let me say something else, then we'll move right along here this afternoon. I urge every married couple, every young married or married however many years you've been married, to prayerfully consider and ask the question, is my insurance sufficient to really take care of my wife and children? if anything unexpectedly happens to me. You say, my, what happened to that anointing that was here a while ago? It's still here. You'd have to live in my shoes to even understand that statement. How many times we go through this? How many times we face this? It's tough enough to lose a loved one when you don't have anything to handle things with when they're gone. And if you've done the best you know how, and that's all you know how to do, then God will take care of the rest. He did it in this story. But I do believe that God expects us to do what we can do. And if I can do something, and it's amazing how inexpensive it is to do something of preparation nowadays. But the bottom line is that this man of God, no matter how great a man of God he was, he died. I remember years ago, the great Jack Coe, 36 years old, I think he was, filled tents of 10,000 and was a champion. We were in Bible college at the time. But he passed away. Some people said, how can it be? What's the matter? Did God, is God asleep? Doesn't God care? Sure he cares. I've just lived long enough to figure out I don't know everything and you don't either. And the secret things belong to the Lord, and if you don't have a clue to it, just leave it alone. And just keep on worshiping God. But this man of God died. He did not have sufficient savings or insurance. His wife could not pay the debt. And things were different then than they are now. The creditors are now coming in hours to take away her most prized blessings left in life, her precious two sons. And they're taking those boys away to be slaves. They're not going to live with grandmother. They're not going to live with aunt. They're not going to some other place. They're going to be slaves. And what in the world can a woman do who's been left with tremendous indebtedness? Seems like there's nowhere to turn. What's a woman like that going to do? I've been meditating on this. I'll tell you, I'm excited. Now I want you to look at this widow of the man of God. She's a believer who has faith in God. Some people say, you preach that faith stuff. What else is there to preach? You're saved by faith, kept by faith, healed by faith, delivered by faith. You do mission work by faith. But you see, as we look at this woman, this widow of this man of God, she's a believer who has faith in God. And I want you to know that a believer is never without options. A believer who has faith in God is never without options. She also was a woman of God. She had a strong faith in God. She also had a strong man of God in her life. Huh? His name was Elisha. And I want to say, blessed is the believer who has a shepherd, pastor, and a congregation of loving, caring believers when things are great and when life storms come. It's good to have people around you that have faith in God. You see, all the world knows to give you a sympathy. But all you need some good faith buddies about that time. But you need a strong local house and you need a strong shepherd in your life. Now, if she had been some people, we wouldn't have seen her for a long time. And I said, what happened to so-and-so? And they would have said, well, she's mad at God, she's mad at the church, she's mad at the preacher. I said, what happened? We didn't hear a thing. Well, and then they told me the story. Well, I'm sorry, there wasn't a thing I could do about it. She didn't run away from the man of God. And if I ever teach you anything that rings true to your heart, you listen to Pastor Bob Nichols. When all hell breaks loose, don't run away from God, run to God. Don't run away from church, run to church. Don't run away from the things of God, run to the things of God. Oh, I'm telling you something. She had a strong man of God in her life. His name was Elisha. And she ran to the man of God and she cried out for help and direction and supernatural divine intervention. Because I believe this woman knew that if she could get a word from God, I'll tell you, one word from God will take you around the world. If you can get a word from God, you can go anywhere, do anything, build anything, survive a tornado, go to Mexico and build a church. If you get a word from God, you can do anything. My heart goes out to people in crisis times who do not have a strong shepherd pastor in a New Testament church. You say, well, Brother Nichols, can you solve all my financial problems? What I'm preaching this morning can. I may not be able to solve your financial problem, but let me tell you, the gospel I preach can and will. I could give you money and you could lose that, spend that. But if I put something in your hand and in your heart that helps you to stand when the storms of life are blowing, you'll come through. You'll not only survive, you'll be a world-class overcomer. You see, she understood that there was an all-out attack. And I want everyone in this audience to listen to me very carefully. If you've gone through the ravages of divorce, there's therefore now no condemnation from the heart of this preacher. Please understand what I'm saying. Because in this church, this is a place of healing. And sometimes things happen over which you have no control, and you did everything you knew how to do, and there's not a thing you can do about it. And you just have to let go and let God have His way. But I'm saying this morning, if you are married, and especially you that are believers, husbands and wives are believers, for God's sake, husbands be men, and for God's sake, women be women. And take care of your marriage, and take care of your partner, and be loving, and be caring. Hear this quite often. I just like to spend a little time with them. That's important. It's very important. You can run from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting and lose everything that's precious and dear. We need one another. And as Dale Gentry said, relationship spells T-I-M-E, time. There's an attack of hell out on homes and marriages and children that surpasses anything I've seen in a long time. I mean somebody that's just sensible, got a clear head, preaching a good gospel, and the next time you meet them, they're just goofy. Their doctrine's messed up, their head's messed up, their lifestyle's messed up. And I just thank God that so many years ago I drove a stake and I said, in the name of Jesus, I purpose to be one minister that somebody can look at and say, I believe he's okay. By God's help. By God's help. Don't kid yourself. Satan's after your marriage. Well, things have never been better. Don't kid yourself. Satan's after your marriage. One day you can come up with some silly, nonsensical idea why you don't think it's worth it anymore. I'm telling you, Satan has a plan to destroy your marriage if he could. And something else, Satan has a plan to destroy your children, and Satan has a plan to destroy your grandchildren. And I'm reaching out here this morning or afternoon, and I'm saying to every one of you that have children or grandchildren, pray for them daily. Intercede for them daily. Don't just love them. Pray for them. Show them God's love. Speak the word of God into their life. It's so easy to be caught up in their charisma or their talents or their scholastic abilities or their achievements. Oh, the most important thing that can happen in the life of a child or a grandchild is for Jesus to be the Savior and for Jesus to be the Lord of their life. There's an attack against marriages and there's an attack against children. But you don't have to be a victim of it. I said you don't have to be a victim of it. Thank God for prayer. Thank God for faith. Thank God for the Word of God that gives us strength in every hour. Satan's after your children. He's after your grandchildren. He's after your marriage if he could get it. But let me tell you about this woman. She was willing to fight for her home and her children. Satan, you keep your hands off those boys. Well, I guess there's just nothing you can do about children nowadays. You know, just, you know how things are going. Oh. This woman said, I'm going to the prophet of God, and he has an answer for my two sons. There's an answer. God has an answer. God has an answer. She said, Satan, you can't have my two sons. I'll tell you, this world system is after your child. This world system is against your marriage and your children. There's someone, something, some situation out there just waiting to try to plant a silly, nonsensical thought in your head or heart that you thought you'd never buy into. Folks, get a hold of this book. Go back and read Proverbs, 5 and 7, and a few of those very graphic chapters that tell you to do the right thing in every circumstance, and don't be overwhelmed by flattery. Don't be overwhelmed by craziness. Just purpose in your heart. Every morning, say, let the words of my mouth and let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Pray that part of the Lord's Prayer that hardly anybody prays. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Don't let me be led into something that I might not be up to. Deliver me from evil. Deliver me from the craziness of the evil one. Televisions and videos and movies. And I know you say, there you go again, Pastor. I'm going to go again every time you hear me. If you turn your children over to the television to babysit, and if you let the monsters and the stuff that's coming out over television, the little demonic things, the children, they latch on to that. They latch on to it. Just in a moment, they gravitate toward that. Fill your home with godly things, godly videos. My grandchildren came in wearing a little demon t-shirt. I'd put one of mine on them. Little demon t-shirts, you know, aren't they cute? No, they're not cute. You're setting yourself up for a world of hurt. And one day that thing will be so, the roots will be so deep, they'll say, get out of my face. Don't tell me what to do. While you can do it, let's do it. Well, it's time to stand. I'm trying to save your children. Don't come and throw them across the office to me when you've done nothing. Expect me to do something in 5 minutes. I can't do it. The church can't do it. But bring them out. Get them involved in youth. Get them involved in the Word of God, the things of God. There's a time to stand and withstand, but there's a time to fight the fight of faith. You see, this is when the unexplainable happens in life. A man of God passes away. A prophet. He's not just a preacher. He's a prophet. Prophet's supposed to know everything. He didn't know that. As bad as it is today, please know that no matter what happens, God has a plan for your crisis. God has a plan for your crisis. There's not a crisis that comes that God says, never even crossed my mind. God has a plan for your crisis. There is a way out. There is a breakthrough for you. There is a breakout for you. As with Abraham, God has a ram in the thicket for you. God has a victory plan for you. Excuse me, I'm just a simple believer. I believe you can take this book and get a word from God. And you can pray your way through. You can believe your way through. You can stand on the promises of God. And when everything else falls apart, you'll come out on the high side of victory. What a way to get a church remodeled. Talk to you about that when I get up there, Lord. God has a plan for your crisis. One more time, there is a way out. There is a breakthrough for you. There is a breakout for you. As with Abraham, God has a ram in the thicket for you. God has a victory plan for you. Now, I want you to notice how Elisha handled this. He started stirring up her own faith. Follow me closely. What do you want me to do for you? He was trying to locate her faith. He was trying to locate what was going on. What can I do for you? See, he's stirring up her faith. Now he turns and starts to really stir up her faith by asking, what do you have in your house? Let me tell you what she obviously didn't have in her house. Obviously, she didn't have a good house that was paid for. Obviously, she didn't have a house that had a lot of good equity in it, so she could sell the house and pay the debts. She didn't have fine, expensive furniture. She didn't have expensive antiques that she could go and sell. She certainly didn't have silver and gold. You see, it seems like this woman doesn't have a thing in the world in her house, so it must be all over. Follow me closely. Woman, what do you have in your house? Lady, what do you have in your house? Sir, what do you have in your house? What's in your house? What's in your heart? There's a crisis. She didn't say, man of God, give me money. She said, help me, man of God. What do we have in the house? Let me tell you some things this woman had. She had faith in her house. She had hope in her house. You see, faith is the single most valuable asset that any widow or single person, male or female, could ever have. Or a parent, single parent, could have. She had faith in God. She had hope in God. My future is bright. Everything's going to be all right. She had love. Love never fails. She had peace that passes all understanding. She had mercy and grace. She had the Word of God. She had faith in God's Word. You know, it's one thing to preach and teach this stuff. It's another thing to live it. It's one thing to preach and teach. It's another thing to live the Word of God. And you know something else she had going for her? She had prayer in her house. I remember when my father passed away and the church was in a very tight financial time and Dad was not able to practice law probably for about 2 or 3 years before he passed away, and the medical bills were high and insurance wasn't adequate. It was just a lot of situations. My father passed away. It was, you know, it's, you really have to watch not getting into the soulish realm. I don't know if you understand what I'm telling you. I can sympathize with you, but I'm not going to help you a bit. I can sit down and put my arm around you and say, I feel so sorry for you. You know, things are so hard, so terrible, and we're both going to go down. But you know what? My mother, I saw Mom do just what I'd seen her do so many times. She got her little Bible out, and she began to go through those scriptures and say, God, you said. God, you said. God, you said. And she had T&P by most all of them. God, you said. God, you said. God, you said. I still don't understand it to this day after going through her financial affairs, even when she passed on a few years later. Some way, somehow, God helped my mother to pay every bill, and she didn't die broke. She must have read what David said. I've been young and now I'm a little bit older, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor God's seed begging bread. I tell you, I've seen Joy's mother do the same thing time and time and time again. And I'll tell you something else this woman had going for her. She had a lot of seeds planted. Much seed in the ground. But there's one thing I'm working toward. I mean, when you have nothing going for you in the natural. I mean, someone could come in and say, well, let's see if we can get a financial statement of what you're worth. And they walk around and say, we wasted our time. But you walk into a man of God or a woman of God's home, you'll find faith in God, hope in God, love, peace, mercy, grace, the Word of God, prayer, and seeds planted, many seeds in the ground. But there was one thing this woman said. She said, yeah, I guess I could say these things, but she said, really, the only tangible thing I have is a pot of oil. One pot of oil. One single, lonely pot of oil. Of course, today we realize that the oil speaks to us of the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. And this oil speaks to us of the oil of gladness and joy. You see, the prophet was getting a faith confession out of her. What do you have in your house? Nothing as far as the world's concerned, but little as much when God is in it. What do you have? A pot of oil. All right, we can work with that. Now we have something to work with. Church, you better listen to me. Some of you may need this in the next few days. A pot of oil is all you need. The anointing, the joy, the gladness. Sadness will put you in a premature grave. All I have is a pot of oil. That'll work. And now notice what the man of God said. All I have is a pot of oil. All right, here we go. You see, God was in essence saying, stop looking at what you don't have and start looking at what you do have. Start preparing to succeed and stop preparing to fail. You see, here was God's victory plan for this widow whose two sons were going into slavery in a matter of hours. God has a victory plan for you. God has a victory plan for you. I'll tell you, if we had time, I always love to hear the story down in Mexico when things were stalemated in their building. And down in Mexico, I mean, money is, real money is scarce. And yet on a Sunday morning, a spirit of giving broke out in this church. And how many U.S. thousands of dollars came in? And about 45,000, which is how many million pesos? 450,000 pesos. I'm going to tell you, my friend, 45,000 U.S. equivalent dollars in Mexico. Some of you don't even know how to compute that. But when you've gone as far as you can go, when you have a pot of oil. I said, when you've gone as far as you can go, and the church can't help you, and the pastor can't seem to help you, and your best friend can't seem to help you, and what am I going to do? You still have a pot of oil in your house. Somebody's going to get this in a minute, and you're going to be hard to contain. All right, but what are we going to do with it? All right, here was God's plan for victory. He said, go to your own house. Shut the door. Shut out unbelief. Shut out all negative voices. Go to your home and shut the door. And in some homes today, they'd have to turn the phone down and turn the television off. I mean, they're praying on one side and listening to the soap on the other. Start making room for success in your life. Go borrow some vessels. Not worldly vessels, but empty vessels. Not a few. As many as your faith will allow. Well, you said, Brother Nichols, do I have to go to all that effort? How much victory do you want? How much breakthrough do you want? How much breakout can you handle? You want relief or do you want abundance? Do you want blessing or you want a little touch? Go borrow a vessel, folks. Oh, what do you want? What do you need? All some people want is a temporary fix. Help me feel a little bit better. God says, do you want a little touch? You want a little fix? Or you want a breakout? You want a breakthrough? Do you want God to change your life? Do you want God to turn things around? Do you want things to be better than they've ever been before? Get busy with that pot of oil. Go borrow vessels, not a few. You said, would you explain that to me? I can't. Don't worry about it. And go into your own house. Some people are always in somebody else's house. Some people don't know how to go to their own house. So I go over to this house and I hear unbelief, and I go over to this house and I hear sympathy, and I go over to this house and it can't be done, and I go over to this house. Well, I told you if you kept attending that church, you'd get yourself in a mess. Just keep going to the house of unbelief. Just keep hanging around people of unbelief. You can't get there from here. Things are bad and they're getting worse. I'm telling you, that's the way it is for those faith folks. You know, it goes good for a while, but it all goes downhill. Shut the door. Go to your own house. Turn the phone off. Turn that television off. Put on some praise tapes. Begin to pray. Begin to rejoice in the things of God. Fill your home with faith. Fill your home with faith. Shut the door upon you and your sons. He didn't say, you go home and do it. He said, you get your sons to go with you. This is a family affair. Saw someone the other day telling their children what they were going to do, and the children actually acted like they enjoyed somebody telling them what to do. And I thought, boy, that's a strange situation nowadays. A mother who knows what to do and told her children what to do, and they did it and did it joyfully. That's interesting. Well, moving right along here. It's the way it should be. Get the family involved in the things of God. Get in faith agreement. No pity parties. Start pouring forth the anointing. Fill up your empty pots. Not with negativism or fear or unbelief or gossip. Fill up your empty pots. Fill up until you overflow with revival and the joy of the Lord. And rejoicing in God always. Whew. From the creditors coming to take her sons away as slaves to a house full of oil. And you say, well, how valuable was oil? I don't know how valuable it was, but she had enough that she could live. She and her sons could live off of that oil. And whatever they had was far more than that one pot of oil they used to have. You see, they went from a pot of oil to a house full of oil. Because the focus was on faith, not failure. The focus was on overflowing, not failure. You know what? That woman did exactly what the man of God said. That's a rare thing nowadays, but anyway. Did exactly what he told her. He said, go to your own house, take your own children, take your borrowed pots, hold on to that pot of oil. That's your secret right there. Faith in that. And pour and pour and pour. Well, you know, the Bible said that there was just so much oil, they didn't know what to do. In fact, the oil stopped when they ran out of vessels. Did you know God will fill every empty vessel you have? I said, God will fill every empty vessel that you have. I'll tell you, there's things in me that I still haven't pulled out from a pastor's heart. I'm hungry to see God's best in every one of your lives. I'm not preaching for the grandstand. If I was, we'd just said, hey, we'll just praise the Lord. We've already had wonderful praise, but you need to tie some word into all of this. We've had a wonderful time of praise and worship. But I'm telling you that you can still listen to that. You can go. You see, she comes back to the man of God. So many come, very few ever return. I saw someone the other day. Last time I saw them 2 years ago, they were going down for the last time. Haven't seen them since then. Saw them driving a new car, things looking good, wearing nice clothes. And I said, what happened? Well, I meant to come back and tell you everything's all right. I said, thanks a lot. Last time I saw you, I was helping you. This also is revival. When the oil pots were full, she comes back to the man of God. Because she knows getting it is not the whole story. How to keep it. Receiving is not the whole story. Where do you go from there? I see God get people out of terrible situations and they don't have enough spiritual wisdom, except they go right back into a deeper mess again. You see, she came back to the man of God to get instructions on how to keep her miracle. And I tell you, it's so important. You know what the man of God said? Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt. He didn't even say, give me some money. He knew what this woman would do. He knew that she would do what was right to do with the money. He's talking to her now, and he said, go, sell the oil, pay the debt, live thou and thy children. You see, God's plan is a family plan. And again, we see that God can turn tragedy into triumph, slavery into success. All because a woman of God had a man of God in her life. And she received God's word and she obeyed it. And she lived in faith's abundance and not in the hopelessness of adversity. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring this final thought to us today. The kingdom of God is within you. When you don't have anywhere to go, inside of you, the Spirit of God lives. There's an answer inside of you. I said, there's an answer inside of you. The kingdom of God is within you today. Your answer is in your house. God in you is bigger than all that you face today. Don't panic. Don't worry. Be happy. Be a doer of the word. Speak the word only. And pour out and pour out and pour out. And watch God pour back to you. I love success stories. Henry Krause was one of those stories years ago. Broke. Everything in their life was a disaster. He was a very brilliant man, an engineer type of person. I think he had $10 and went to the grocery store to buy groceries, and on his way to church, those were the days when you couldn't afford air conditioning, so the windows were open and the front door of the church was open, and he heard a preacher preaching, and he walked into the church, and lo and behold, they were receiving an offering. And they were encouraging people to give to missions. And Henry Krause listened to that, heard what the Word of God said about that, put the $10 there, went back home, and his wife said, "Where are the groceries?" "Well," he said, "God will provide." In the middle of the night, they were so poor that they didn't have something to write on. He found a brown piece of paper. God woke him in the middle of the night, a little pencil he had to sharpen it, and God gave him the formula for a plow that International Harvester spent millions of dollars trying to crack that patent, but they just couldn't do it. Henry Krause became a tremendous partner in the Oral Roberts ministry, and on the story goes how that he was like R.G. Letourneau in the latter part of his life. He lived on 10% and gave God 90%. You know, if you'd talked to him on the way back from the store, you'd have thought, "Poor man, poor man." Say it quickly, because he's not going to be that for long. Poor man. Rich man. Blessed man. Man that's heard from God. He wrote out that formula that God gave him on an old grocery sack with an old pencil. Got it patented and became a very, 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 very wealthy man. You know, there are people here this morning that said, "But preacher, you don't understand. I'm hurting." Didn't you hear a thing I said this morning? "But preacher, I barely made it here. I don't know if I can get home. Don't have enough gas. May pops on my wheels. Don't know what I'm going to..." Didn't you hear what I preached? Be happy. Don't worry. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. I like what evangelist D.H. Phillips says. "God has one more miracle just for you. God has one more miracle just for you. Don't worry. Be happy. Obey God. Pour out the oil." Somebody's going to take this message and do something with it. Somebody's going to take this message and see a miracle. Somebody's going to take this message and have a breakthrough and a breakout. The answer to your need is in your house. It's in your heart. I know something some of you hadn't figured out this afternoon. This preacher knows what he's talking about. You can take a little pot of oil, come through anything. Could you tell a story that was any worse than this? You're dealing with death and you can't pay your bills, and your own children will be sold into slavery. Hey, that's as rough as it gets. It just doesn't get any worse than that. But we saw God turn it around. We saw God turn it around. And God's ready to turn it around for you.